Is the mic on? Episode 105, What's Wrong with Orny Adams? I have some breaking, great news. Actually, something positive I could start with. Something arrived in this box. I'm so excited to share it with you. But first, come see one of my stand-up shows. This weekend, I'll be in Las Vegas, Nevada, March 15th and 16th at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club. I'm there several times a year. Come see a show. Next weekend, March 23, 24, I'll be in Chicago. Again, Chicago for the Epic Cons Teen Wolf slash some other show convention. So come see me. I'll be there all weekend. I've got some special merchandise, some special shirts I'm bringing just for you guys. And don't forget, Sunday, March 24th, I will be doing a show, a stand-up show at the Navy Pier as part of this convention. So come on down. Hope to see you there. May 4th, finally, my last date I'll plug. I'll be at the Kookaburra Lounge. It's a new comedy club and music venue, a speakeasy here in Los Angeles. I'm excited to be there, one of their first comedians. I'll be there May 4th as part of the Netflix is a Joke Festival. Although I don't feel like I'm part of Netflix, I'm part of this comedy festival. So come on down. I'll tell you why I'm excited to perform at the Kookaburra Lounge. It's an Art Deco showroom. This is from their website. Equipped with JBL Harman sound, Martin lighting, AKG mics, and a Roland Baby Grand piano on stage. If that doesn't say they care, then I don't know what does. Look at this. And welcome back, everybody. Thank you for the people that have been following the saga of What's Wrong with Orny Adams. Lots of complaints. I have a major complaint today about my stove repairman. I'll get into that in a minute. Boy, if the lesson there is anything, it is go with your instincts. Always. Always. So, let's just start off with something positive. On a previous episode, I talked about the visitor I had in my house that was doing some sort of crazy stretcher dance and broke my printer. So I put it out there. I said, listen, I have an older printer. Okay, but it's a workhorse. It's great. It's never failed me. You know how people complain about their printers and how it gobbles up ink? Mine doesn't. Mine goes years without needing refills. So what I did was I had to decide this year, is it time to finally upgrade? And I thought, why should I? This thing still works. There's nothing I needed to do that it doesn't do. And I only buy ink once every few years. So I bought $180 worth of ink to fill it up. And then it was some sort of holiday special in December. They gave me rewards back, Staples. So I had about $125 in rewards to use. And I realized Staples is now like Radio Shack. There's nothing there I need anymore. In fact, even their hard drives, I thought I'll just buy a new hard drive because I go through hard drives like this with all the content I'm creating. And so... there was nothing I wanted. I don't need pens and papers. I still have plenty of that. There was nothing. So I thought I'll just buy more ink for this printer. It's like an 8600 or something. So now I have about 6 years worth of ink. And this guest comes over. She starts flailing her arms, breaks my printer. It's still functioning, but the paper tray now snapped. So there's no end to the paper tray for when the paper comes out. So now the paper's just going to go flying all over the place. Well, I put it out there on the podcast. I asked you, the listeners, if anybody has this printer or a part or can help me find it, please help me. And you're not going to believe it. None of you came through. None of you. Not one listener helped me. But I did find on somebody in Northern California that was giving away the exact printer. And I said, listen, I don't need the whole printer. And I can't pick it up because I don't live near you. But I just need this one part. And I sent him a video of how to take the printer tray feed out. In fact, I'll show you what it looks like. This is it. This is all I needed. Okay? So if you look here, if you're watching the video, see how this comes out? This is supposed to have, where is it? I guess I threw it out. It's supposed to have a little lip here so it catches the paper. Well, my guest just broke that off. So this is the old one. It's been replaced. I want to thank this guy. And he's restored my faith in humanity. That for zero cost, he took the time to take this part out and ship it to me. Like something went right. I can't believe it. And here's the other thing. The guy won't take any money. I offered to send him money. I offered four times. I have it in writing, four times. I said, let me at least send you money for the shipping. He said, I don't need it. I don't need the money. Just happy to help. I can't believe there's people like this left on this earth.
What's his name, Kev?
You know his name. You're listening to his podcast. My printer is fixed. That box on the floor over there. So thank you to that kind gentleman that fixed it. And I'd like to send you something. I don't know if you listen to this podcast. I'm open. My listeners could help me figure out a unique gift. Maybe I should find out if he has a new printer and if he needs ink for that one. That's what I should have used the Staples coupon credits for. Look at this. I'm printing out the papers right here for What's Wrong with Orny Adams. This is the episode. These are my notes. That's right. I do a lot of printing. Now I got 6 years of ink. So this podcast is going on for at least 6 years. I want to thank you, the listeners. I want to thank everybody that watches this initially on my Patreon. Thank you for supporting me. I appreciate it. It means a lot. I want to thank the people that watch it on YouTube and everybody that listens to it. This is available immediately for free online, the audio. So I don't want to hear any complaints. Creating a lot of content. You know, I spend all day just creating content that doesn't yield an income. I that's how much I enjoy what I do. Most people don't enjoy what they do. We'll get into that in a minute. A lot of people apparently are still living off their parents. Not too sure why nobody wants to work. Work fulfills your soul, gives you purpose. But yeah, at some point, I don't know what happens in life. You know, who was I talking to about it? Oh, Bill Burr. He said, hey, it's all content now. It's all crowd work. It's all, and you know, I didn't want to tell him, you know, I'm still doing that. Congratulations. You know, Bill graduated beyond that. That's what I'd like to do, but I'm still editing clips. I'm still shooting all my shows and looking for moments and hoping to, you know, connect with people. And there's no money in this. Okay. So I'm taking my special, which now has five, waving at the camera, 5 million views on YouTube. 5 million. It breaks my heart. I'm now breaking it up into like 1 minute clips and putting them up on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, you know, every form of, even that stupid one that Meta started that I can never remember, Ribbons, whatever that one's called. It breaks my heart to break this up. And it's so near and dear to me. In fact, I should have been doing this 4 years ago, but I didn't have the courage. That's the truth. I did not have the courage to break up my special. And now I am a little bit late to the party, but I'm doing it. And I got to tell you something. I actually hired somebody who's doing a great job. What I do is I edit the clips. I get them down to the exactly as I want it. Sometimes I edit out a sentence, or sometimes the crowd reaction is too strong and too long. I edit that out. And then I send him exactly the clip. And then he adds the titles and the subtitles and makes it look very contemporary. And it looks great on my feed. So you can go to my Instagram. You can go to my TikTok until America makes that illegal and takes that away. And you can see all these 1 minute clips now. And it was kind of fun because I did shows this weekend and I thought, wow, if people go to my social media now, they'll see a really, you know, professional presentation of my special. And maybe that will get them to go see my special. Maybe they'll pass the clips around. Maybe they'll come see a live show somewhere else. I don't know. But I will say this. I have a lot to say. I didn't realize I had so much to say. I thought I'd be out of here by now, to be honest, on this episode. Though I got to tell you about the stove. Putting up those clips, like when I went to publish the first clip last week, I felt sick. Like I felt, it's weird. I have a weird attachment. Like I take this very seriously. Like a clip just isn't a clip. It's like a part of me. Like aren't there cultures in Africa or in the Amazon that believe if you take their picture, you're taking a part of their soul? Like I believe that. Like I believe I want to share part of myself with you, but I'm not sharing all of myself. I want to have my own life. And maybe that's why I'm not, you know, as widely known as other people. I think I've told the story about Robin Williams and one night when we worked together in Mill Valley, California, and how he was completely naked, literally. Hairy and naked, an Oscar winner. And I was there thinking, don't take your shirt off because you might look, you know, you're not in perfect shape. You'll look, people, there'll be pictures of you with your shirt. Like, you notice there's no pictures of me with my shirt off. I just... there's parts of my life that I protect. And if I haven't told that Robin Williams story on the podcast, I should. It's one of the most amazing nights of my career where I instantly bonded with Robin Williams. And what a tragedy, the end of his life. And just no one like him. No one like him. I remember as a kid, anytime he was on whatever show, if he was on a Tonight Show or Letterman, I would have to watch it because of his spontaneity. You didn't know what he was going to do. And I thought that was amazing. So the printer's fixed. Oh. Look at my... I got to show you a picture of my trash cans. I got a real problem with this. I don't have dogs. Historically have not been a dog person. But now I've come to love dogs through somebody else, like somebody else that has dogs. And so, but what I don't like is when I put out my trash cans, they're out there for less than 12 hours. I don't like people putting their dog shit bags in my trash cans. The little green bags of shit. That's your dog, your shit. Get it out of my cans. Hey, Tim, like the old guy, get off my lawn. But I really am. You know, you put out your cans and I wash my cans. I keep them clean. I try not to put food in there. Like, you know, if pickup is on Monday, I don't put like, you know, raw chicken bones in there on Tuesday. So even if you just put your dog shit, oh, I love that word, shit. I like to hit that T hard. Shit. 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 Even if you just put it in there, even though the trash hasn't been picked up, there's residual smell. Plastic will hold smell. In fact, during COVID, maybe one of the reasons I can't eat mustard anymore, I have a cabinet above my, oh, wait, do you hear the stove story? Above my, where is this one above? It's above the refrigerator. Excuse me. Just went through puberty. And it's a big one. And I'd have paper towels up there. And for a while, I was storing during COVID food on one side, paper towels, and laundry detergent. And that laundry detergent smells so fragrant that it actually got into the canned goods. It went through the canned goods. Like, or jars, like a jar of mustard, I could taste the laundry detergent. It tasted like November rain. It tasted like lavender, whatever the smell was going on. That, and it got into, I had salsa. And so, oh, I'm going to throw up. I could still taste the laundry detergent. And so, don't think your dog crap in my can, even though it's only there for a few hours, doesn't, there isn't residual smell, there is. And the worst offenders are the people, I'm looking right into the camera, I'm talking to you, the people that put the dog shit in your can after the trash has just been picked up. Now what am I supposed to do? Now my can's empty. One of my favorite things is taking in an empty can. And there's your little green bag of shit. Shame on you. Shame on you. So I put, look at this. I put on the trash can. It's a sign. I'm going to put it up on the screen. It says, no dog shit. Thank you. Or please, no dog shit, please. And I thought, I can't be the only one who's having this problem. So I went on Etsy, and they actually make professional decals for the cans that say, you know, no dog poo. Or they cleaned it up. I said shit because I wanted to look crazy. So then I just hand wrote one. Look at it. No dog shit, please. Exclamation. And I put it on the can, and I go, this looks like a crazy person. This looks like somebody that's going to come out swinging a bat. And I have three security cameras that are on that point. So now I'm gathering intel. And I, before this sign was up, I got a three camera shoot of one of my neighbors putting the dog crap like in between, like having the lid, lifted the lid a little and put half of the bag in there and half hanging out. And I contacted him and I said, hey, could you not, you know, do you mind not, putting your dog shit. I don't know if you see, there's a sign coming that's going to let you know how crazy I am. And he said that he was going to go for a walk and was going to come back later and get that. Well, I'll tell you something. On the camera, you know, it was put there at 8 a.m. and now it's, you know, 1 p.m. They collect the trash late here and it's still there. I don't know if that math makes sense, but he wasn't coming back for it. I caught him. Can't do anything anymore. We have cameras everywhere watching us. Don't lie. So now, no shit, please, sign on my trash cans. I'll let you know how this works out. I'm sure some people are going to defy my wishes and my sign just because of the, you know, the sign is there. They're going to show me, right? They're going to show me. But I got cameras on it. And I'll monitor. Kind of sad about this. Nobody cared that it was a leap year. Nobody. Nobody talked about it. Nobody made jokes. Just was so consumed with so much, you know, bad things in the world that we don't have time to concentrate on the things that really matter. Like leap year. Leap year happens once every 4 years. And I don't know why we're not all talking about it and coming together via leap year. So here, this is really one of the main reasons I wanted to do this episode today. In fact, I could have done the whole episode around this. When I was in Sarasota, Florida at McCurdy's Comedy Club, a gentleman by the name of Rich came up to me and he handed me something. It's a military coin. It's called a challenge coin. And I think you get this when you're on a mission. I haven't fully read the email he sent me. He sent me this email a couple of weeks ago. Right after, I said to him, he presented it to me after the show, and I said, listen, this is too much of a responsibility. Like, all of a sudden, people are giving me stuff. In the last couple of weeks, remember two episodes ago, Jim Clemente gave me an FBI pin. Now I've got veterans giving me challenge coins. I have, from my friends at NASA, sent me a pin made from part of the engine, from the Artemis engine. One of the space shuttles, which I'm going to give to my cousin. I'm going to give this to her because she's a NASA freak. And I asked my friends at the NASA. I said, "Is it okay if I give it to a cousin, my cousin?" They said, "We'll get you another one for you." So, anyway, I got this email. This is from Rich. He said, "Good day, Arnie. I hope you don't mind me addressing you by your first name. Now, you can call me whatever you want. You were in the military." You can call me Draft Dodger. I would have responded immediately. However, I came home and had to juggle various cats and chainsaws. You understand how life goes. Oh, do I ever? Rich, wait till you hear the story about my stove at the end. Wait to hear about that. Yeah, life. Just making sure there's not anything else I have to go over. I presented the challenge coin to you as a token of respect and honor. And it's really touching. And I was so happy to see you accept it with so much interest and excitement. You know what I said to him? I said, Rich, I go, what is this? He said, "Oh, we get this one on, we're on a mission." I said, "Let me videotape you presenting it." Well, it was so loud in the club, because you know what these clubs do? When the show is over at these comedy clubs, they start blasting loud music so people leave. It's really obnoxious. So I couldn't hear him. So I said, I'll put up some of the him talking, a video in the background so you can see.
This is a unit coin referred to as a round metal object. This is from Air Mobility Command. It's presented to Orny Adams. He'll keep it, and this is something that we keep in our pockets, and they're challenge coins, and when good buddies get together for a beer or lunch, and somebody pulls their challenge coin out, whoever doesn't have their challenge coins, gotta pay.
But I can't. I can't pull out the coin.
Well, if you're with the right people, you can.
How did you earn that coin?
By being in Air Mobility Command.
So I said, send me an email so I understand completely what you've given me, because I feel like this is something weighty. This is something that maybe your kids or your grandkids would like. So I said to him, listen, if you ever want this back, just let me know. Now, I'm not giving back the FBI pin that Jim Clemente gave me. That I'm keeping. I presented the challenge coin to you. I read that already. These military challenge coins, or as my units call them, RMOs, round metal objects. I love the military. My dad would get such a kick out of that, because my dad was in the Navy and always would tell me these really funny expressions, ironic expressions that the military had. And there's one of them, round metal objects, RMOs. Because the term and use of the word coin would be taken as a challenge. I will get some of the rules in a bit. These coins are carried at all times and represent a level of... Oh, that's why he gave it to me. This thing's too heavy to carry. If you have more than one, he's got to carry this at all times? Wow. Carried at all times and represent a level of pride and spirit decor for one's unit in command. The coin, okay, no tequila. Odin explaining this stuff. Another guy wants tequila from me. All right, you can have. I'll get you tequila. I presented to you as was from my HQ Air Mobility Command unit, which I had stood up to support mobility platforms to include various C-130s, C-70, a lot of Cs, C-5, KC. Now there's a K in front of the C-135, KC-46. So it's something to do with tanker units. A coin given to you reflects the missions of airlift, refueling, and evacuation. One of the generals on the coin is Lieutenant General William H. Tanner, known for the WW2 hump operation. Oh. The Berlin airlift and the Korean airlift. This is, it's fascinating. He says, I've seen three of your shows personally and watched your specials on numerous occasions and brought and shared your performances with family and friends. And during several of your shows, you've expressed a respect for the military members. I sure do. Sure do. At age 18, you wouldn't have me over there fighting. I was chicken shit. Now I'm fired up. Get to a certain point, you're like ready to fight. Talking about my special, the Fighting 40s Brigade. You have people over 40 in flip-flops and Hawaiian shirts over there fighting. Because we know what we're fighting for now. But we send these kids over. Like, when you look at how young people are in the military, in these uniforms, it's... They don't know what's going on. It's amazing. So to have that courage at a young age, much respect for our military. You've expressed respect for our military members, which is appreciated. In fact, my family has coined one of your sayings. I said it first. I guess I said that at one of my shows, from one of your shows. There are various twists to the rules, but essentially what happens is, and I'm not gonna read all the rules, because there's 1, 2, 3. I mean, it's very specific. You have 10 to 15 seconds to present your challenge coin. You have to have a time limit. The military is very into timing. A challenge is initiated by presenting your coin, holding it up, and typically slapping it down on the table or surface and expressing that a coin check is being made. The sound of the coin on the table surface gets people running to show their coins and get a drink or a meal of, or they have to get a drink or meal of their choice. So it's, and it goes on for pages and pages. It was loud when you tried recording our conversation. I was happy to see you enjoy the appreciate the gift. You are not being tracked. Oh, I didn't even think of that. That might be a tracking something in this coin. Military might be on to me. You are not being tracked. As you impart your energy from the stage to the audience, may the laughter and applause continue to feed in your return. The perfect stay awesome, stay blessed, and let me know if you want to do a podcast at some point down the road. Okay. All right, Rich. All right. Well, I appreciate it. So I now have, okay, a challenge coin. I'm going to ask my dad about this, a round metal object, RMO. And I've got my FBI pin. And, of course, I've got part of the space shuttle. So for me, I get a kick out of this stuff because I'm just, you know, I'm little old Adam from Lexington. And, you know, I grew up and now I'm getting these gifts, which I think is just so cool. And I think sometimes we, you know, we forget the impact we have on people. So, Rich, I'll be back in Sarasota next February 2025. I don't know how many years I can keep doing this, but yeah, anyway, I think it's cool. And to give basically a stranger something that I think means a lot to you, a RMO, you know, he had to do a mission. I mean, there's significance to this. You know, I have a friend, his name's Flo Grobert. He won the commission, the Medal of Honor. It was handed to him by Obama, and he has a ring. He wears a ring at all times because it is the Congressional Medal of Honor is one of the highest honors. In fact, when you have that, I think presidents salute you. It's very rare. And he had a ring. And we were out drinking one night in D.C., and he said, put the ring on, and then the ring wouldn't come off. I thought Flo was going to yank my finger right off. Anyway, I've expressed interest in getting Flo on this podcast, but I think he's a bit private, which I do understand because I, of course, am private. So I want to just talk about this to the young people. Really consider a home ownership. It's just, it's not as easy as you'd think. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm just saying stuff breaks all the time. You know, like last year, my roof leaked. I tried to fix it and I didn't do enough. And it leaked again. So two walls that I had professionally painted inside now have to be painted again. Probably my fault, to be honest with you. I probably should have done a better job fixing that. But, you know, I'm on the road all the time. It's, you know, like this weekend, it's Monday now, and I leave Friday for Las Vegas. I'm already thinking about it. Like yesterday, I packed the merch for the trip. I'm already thinking, I already have, like, anxiety. How am I getting to the airport? And so all that gets in the way of doing a podcast or fixing your roof. There are very few days that I get to sit in the backyard, like yesterday, with a cigar and just enjoy. There's very little joy. I want more joy. Work my ass off. If you knew the energy I put into even just doing local shows like this weekend. I did a show Friday at the Laugh Factory. One of the greatest shows. I just connected with this audience. It was like riding that wave. What do they call it? It's like body surf with my dad. Sometimes you just catch a wave and you just go all the way. The next thing you know, you're scraping sand on your stomach. Those were the fun days. But now, I find very little. I just find myself working, working, working. It's like I'm having a massive midlife crisis where I just feel this need to get everything done. Give it one more shot. And touring's not easy. I get emails. I just read an email from somebody. When are you coming to Dallas? Loved your episode about baby carrots, your podcast. When are you coming to Dallas? I'd love to go to all these places. I would. But I do it myself. I got rid of all my agents, my manager. I work with nobody. You want to book me? You send an email in through my website. I have an assistant. We handle all the negotiations. But I'm doing it myself. There's no longer a barrier between me and rejection. Rejection's right in my face. And that's exhausting. And to have shows like last weekend where, you know, I don't know how to describe it without sounding like, you know, an arrogant performer, but it was magical. You come see, you judge. And for me to not be selling out every venue or have a machine behind me, it's disheartening. Now I could wrap it up. I could give myself the big light and say, hey, Arnie, you did it. Did three specials. You got to a great point. You went further than most. Your career's still going up. But how much energy do I have to sit around editing clips all the time? To be corresponding? I answer almost every email, every online comment. Just to be connected to you so you feel connected to me. Because if there is success here, I want you all to feel part of it. When I sell out shows in Sarasota, you should feel part of it. When it's packed this weekend in Vegas at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club, you should feel part of it. When my show, when the Netflix is a Joke Festival, when my show sells tickets at the Kookaburra Lounge May 4th, I want you to feel part of it. Because my career would be dead if it wasn't, if the gatekeepers were in charge, absolutely, I would have been out for whatever reason. I don't know why. I don't know why there are certain comedy clubs like the Comedy Store that won't work me. I don't know why there are certain clubs that won't book me. But on the other side, there are plenty of people who do. And there are plenty of venues that will. And there are plenty of people that believe. And then there's you, the democracy, the people who get to go on and vote by watching one of my videos, by passing it along, by writing reviews, by sharing, by coming to the shows. You know, if anything, we should be anti-gatekeeper nowadays. Really. And to me, this is part of the fight. And part of me wanting to shed everybody and do it myself, although it's exhausting and it's literally killing me inside. I feel my organs drying up like a raisin. I do it because I want to prove that I can do it. I can do it on my own. And I can do it with just you guys. That's part of it. So when, Mike, gives me this, Rich gives me this challenge coin. Okay. When I make friends like Jim Clemente, when I meet you guys after the show, when I hear how you're going through a tough time and just one podcast episode meant a lot to you, I get it. Okay. And it makes me really, really enjoy life until I go outside and somebody's put it's a fresh dog shit bag in my newly empty trash cans. I got to tell you about my stove. Holy cow. I'm telling you, young people, really, really think long and hard about buying a home. Buying a home, I love saying I own a home, but it's like, you know, the minute I come back from a trip, I'm confronted with all my in-home problems. Everything that's got to be fixed, you know? It's like, there are very few times, like yesterday, like I said, you can sit outside and smoke a cigar. Usually you look at me and you go, wait a minute, what's that crack on the wall? That's new? Or, look at that weed. I want to go pull that weed. Because there's always something that needs to be done and fixed. And it's really hard to find people. Like I said, I've been trying to find somebody to help me fix the roof. People don't show up. I have friends that have offered to help, then they don't show up. Like, I don't know what it is with people promising to do something and then they don't do something. Like, if Orny Adams says he's going to do something, he's going to do something. That's why, like, I'll say no. You know, I asked, should I say his name? There's a comedian that he's older than me. And was married to another comedian. Anyway, I've asked him. I see him all the time. I'll see him at a show this week. Does all the little dinky shows. You know, like I'll do Yamashiro's, my friend Jay books out. I'll do that as a favor to him, and he'll be there. And I thought, well, he'll do my podcast. I know I'm not Howard Stern. I know he's on Howard Stern all the time. Anyway, this person's not even returning my... He's pretending like he's not even getting my text messages. And then somebody said, try an email. So then I email, doesn't return that. So I know it's full of shit. By the way, most people... you know, I reached out to somebody else today, a very famous person. It'd be interesting to see if they respond. I actually work with them on a Tonight Show. Be interesting to see if they respond. Most of this stuff gets through. You know, most famous people, and I'm not saying I'm famous, but they're pretty bored. And they like the validation. They want to know what's going on in the streets. They want to know what you think, okay? This person's not returned. So what I'm saying is I'm an adult. So when somebody says, hey, will you do my podcast? I say, hey, listen, I'm not doing podcasts right now. Or that's not for me. Or I don't like to expose myself too much. But I give an answer. And that's why I've made a lot, some enemies in this town. Okay? But just, we're adults. Just answer. That's all. Just answer. But I read this today that, I don't know what's going on with the millennials and the Gen Z. I don't even know what the difference is between a millennial and a Gen Z or whatever the next generation is going to be called. I don't even know what I am. I don't know what I am. I don't care. I'm part of a bigger picture that's timeless. Time can go screw itself, especially daylight savings. We have to turn back clocks and turn up clocks and turn back and turn forward and leap and fall and... Jeez, this man-made crap. Listen to this. 40% of parents still financially support adult children, a study finds. 40%? My parents made it very clear. After college, and we'll help you with that, and I also took out a loan that I paid back, a small loan, but they wanted to help me learn how to make payments. They wanted to help me get credit, increase my credit score. But they made it very clear, you're not coming home after college. Maybe come home for a couple of months, but after that, get going. Get going. And I'll say this, I loved college and I went to a great college. I went to Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. And what I learned there, like when I write my comedy routines and I tackle a topic, it's like writing a dissertation. Like when I'm writing a bit now about Napoleon, I research it and I enjoy it and I take notes and I overwrite and I boil down and I come up with a premise. I solve the premise. I learned all that at Emory. I learned friendships. I still have some of my best friends are from Emory. I didn't learn how to network. I should have networked. A lot of rich people, a lot of rich influential people went to Emory. People that started Reebok Shoes, Home Depot, all Emory. Soda people that own soda. Rich people. And there I was in my 1983 Toyota Celica that I paid for with paper route money, working as a security guard in a mental hospital. And also I worked in the cafeteria there too. And also as a caddy. Used to do two or three loops, double bags. Yeah, real work. $40 a loop, I think. Per bag, 80 total. No tipping. Felt like a lot of money. Always working. Paper route. 8 years old. Got up. Had a paper route. Always. Treated it like a business. How I collected money. Kept track of everything. Charts. So my parents, listen, made it very clear. And my parents... I'm lucky and fortunate that I always felt I had a cushion, but I wouldn't take money. I wanted to do it on my own. And sense of pride there. Again, I guess it sounds like what I'm doing now without managers and agents. Just thinking out loud here. And, you know, I knew that I could go home for a little bit, but you do whatever it takes to make the ends meet was what was conveyed to me. That means waiting tables, temping, getting a job that's beneath you. But I will say this, and this is why I said I went to Emory. The degree itself probably has done nothing for me. It probably wouldn't help me get a job outside of Atlanta. And what I'm saying is, like, it's great to go to college. You'll learn social skills. You'll learn to have a good time. It's you're on the same schedule as everybody else. It's fun. I enjoy studying. I enjoy learning. But the degree itself, unless it's a specific degree, like a business degree, law degree, medical, right? I don't know how much it helps you. I don't know how much incurring this debt helps the young people. I don't know. Okay? But this is what the millennials and Gen Z are confronted with now, which I'm empathetic to. Not only are their wages lower than their parents' earnings when they were in their 20s and 30s, after adjusting for inflation, but they are also carrying a larger student loan balance. I can imagine. Those parents are shelling out $1,384 a month on average, the report found. And yet, 61% of adult children still living at home don't contribute to household expenses at all. That's amazing. Now, listen, I'll be honest. If you're, this is 18 and plus. If you're 18, I can understand still being at home. 19, 20, 20, I get that. I can get, like, I was on my parents' health insurance until I was in my early 20s, and that helped me. So I understand that type of support. But if you're 30 and living at home and not contributing, we got a problem. We got a problem. We got a real problem. You got to move out and get a home like me and deal with leaky roofs and my stove. Wait till you hear this story. God, I don't even have the energy to tell it. I have a homeowner's insurance policy for appliances only. You don't pay much. I had it when I bought the house. The person I bought it from gave me a year. I think that's some sort of like ritual or tradition. And so within that year, my dishwasher broke. And the insurance company paid for it. They actually bought me a new dishwasher. I have a great dishwasher. I have one of the best dishwashers in the world. Quiet. It's a Bosch. And then my air conditioning heating unit broke. And they came out and fixed that. So I thought when they reached out and they said, hey, we'll give you a deal. We'll give you for another year. Try it for this amount. I signed up for it. It'd been several years since I had it. And my stove broke. And I thought it would be as pleasant and seamless as the, my eyes feel heavy, as the dishwasher and the heater, but that isn't the case. So immediately I call them. I say, hey, one of the burners on my stove isn't working. They said, we'll send somebody out. They assign you to somebody immediately. I get the name of the appliance people that are coming out to evaluate my stove and tell me whether it's covered. I go on Yelp. They have 1.6 stars out of 5. 1.6. What does that tell you? With 300 reviews. That tells you we got a problem. So I start reading the reviews, right? Let me read some of them. Okay? This company, I won't say the name of the company, but trust me, I'm going to write a scathing review. And I will... with the insurance company, I'm not going to say their name. I will be relentless sending in negative information about these people. I will, until I find the person that can make sure they never work with these people again. That's how fired up I am about it. And yes, I already have, I've talked about in this episode that I'm already burdened with a lot and under, I have a lot of anxiety by all the things I have to get done. But to me, this is part of your civic duty is reporting bad service. Reporting when you buy a product and it sucks, you should write a review. You should write a review on Yelp about these people because it is important. It is important that we police, and it's the democracy that could elevate my career should be the democracy that brings brings down bad elements. Here are some of the reviews on Yelp. Sent by the warranty company to diagnose my washer, gave two false reports stating nothing was wrong with a completely dead washing machine. I insisted on getting another company out who diagnosed as needing at least $500 to repair it. Therefore, do not use this company. Now, what you're going to figure out is I had the exact same situation. Here's another review. A tech looked under my washer for about a minute, said it needed a new transmission because the current one was wearing out. And he said he'd file a report and see what was covered. A week later, I see my warranty has closed my claim with no word from so-and-so. When I called them, they said the tech filed the problem under misuse instead of normal wear and tear. Here's another one. Sent falsified photos to the home warranty repair company. Remember all this stuff? Remember, company. Committed fraud. Don't use this contractor for your repairs. They don't do any repairs, just doing falsified reports. Here's another one. Technician came out to service my microwave, didn't know what it was doing, talking to someone, someone on the phone, didn't explain anything to me and left. I got a notification from the warranty company saying my claim was denied because it wasn't caused by wear and tear. Total scam, exclamation mark. Here's another one. I would give 0 stars. I was assigned this company through my home warranty. Contractor was rude, communicated poorly, and was in a rush. Reported to my home warranty that the microwave issue was not due to normal wear and tear, which voids warranty coverage. How convenient for them. How convenient for them. The warranty company, right? Is the warranty company in on this? That's what you have to think. Here's another one. This company was called out for a refrigerator repair through such and such warranty company. The guys came out and stayed about 3 minutes. Proof on my Ring camera. I looked at my Ring cameras too to see how long they had stayed and barely looked at my refrigerator. He told us he'd check with the insurance company and give them the diagnosis. However, instead he closed the ticket. Here we are days later with no word from the insurance company. So I decided to call back on the status. Was told the ticket was closed because my refrigerator was within a 5-year warranty, which was not true. He never asked how old the refrigerator was or the model or serial number. On top of that, I was charged a $100 service call for him to come out and do absolutely nothing. I have filed a complaint. Here's another one. Sent falsified photos to the home repair company. Committed fraud. Don't use these contractors for repair. Did I read that one already? Sent false report. So here's what happened to me. These people came out. One guy came out. Okay. Young guy. And he didn't know what he was doing. Okay. He opened up the stove. He looked at a few things, had to call somebody. And the person told him what was wrong with it. And I know what's wrong with it. It needs a potentiometer, whatever that is, and a new valve. So it needs to release the gas. There's no gas being released. And I love the stove. It's old. It's probably 15 years old, maybe older, but it's before everything was digital. There's no real computers in there. And it's gorgeous and sturdy looking. It's a Thermador. It's a really expensive, like, chef stove. So if they had to replace it, it would be, you know, $5,000 to $10,000. So the guy comes out, looks, he doesn't know, but he actually diagnosed it correctly because I have a friend who fixed his stove and he told me it's probably what's wrong with it. And he could tell by how I described it. So this guy opens it up and he says, files a report with my insurance company. And they say, your stove is covered. They're ordering the parts. When the parts arrive, they'll come out and fix it. And the kid told me he's going to have to bring a senior technician. Now, what you have to understand is, before I get too deep into this story, the minute I was assigned this company, I called the homeowner's insurance company and I said, listen, could you please assign me another? This is day one. I file the report. I get the name of the repair people and I Google them and I look on Yelp and I read these reviews that I just read you. I call them and I say, please, every review is negative. They have 1.6 stars, which is almost impossible. They seem like a scam. All they do is misdiagnose things. So it voids the warranty. And they said, well, listen, I don't know what their Yelp reviews are, but internally they have great reviews. We get great feedback. Please just give it a try. If you don't like them, we'll send somebody else out. Well, the guy comes out, diagnoses it, and it seems like everything's going great. They order the parts. Takes about a month. Now I've been without my stove for a month. And by the way, you have this insurance, but there's you have to pay per service call. It's $125. So I've paid for these people to come out. Now, cut to last week where the guy is going to come, is coming back, and he's bringing the senior technician. They're supposed to be there between 8 a.m. and noon. So I block off the time. I make sure I'm home. I adjust my schedule. Well, what do you think happens? I get a call from the dispatcher who's basically rude and dismissive and said they're going to be coming at 3. I said, they can't come at 3. I'm doing the Conway show on KFI at 5. I didn't tell him that, but I have to leave at 5. And from what I can tell, I looked on YouTube. I watched a video. This is quite a project. This project is going to take 2-3 hours. And I don't want them to open up my fridge. I'm sorry, my stove. Definitely don't want them to open the fridge when the stove's broken. I don't want them to open the stove and not be able to repair it or put it back together. I don't want something dismantled in my house. Not to mention, I have hardwood floors in the kitchen. I'm very concerned about them pulling out the stove. So I said, do they have like a lift to pull it out? How are they going to? Oh, they bring a lift. You don't worry. They don't bring anything. This dispatcher said, okay, I'll make sure they're there by 1. They show up at 3:45. It's pouring rain. Okay? I find out later that they put their cigarettes out on my walkway outside my door. But I looked at my Ring cam because I wanted to know exactly how long they were there for. Okay? The senior technician, if I showed you a picture of this guy, his energy, you would say, why would you ever let that guy into your house? The guy was so rude. And he said, I said, hey guys, I spoke to your dispatch an hour ago. I said, we can't start this. I have to leave here in an hour and 15 minutes. And we're just going to have to reschedule. And they just looked at each other and, you know, I said, so when can we reschedule? I got the feeling they weren't going to reschedule. So the senior guy said, could I just come in and take a look and see how serious the problem is? But he said it in a much more ruder, off-putting way. And this is the mistake I made, was letting him in. And what he did was, he unscrewed one plate, the easiest plate, not where the whole stove is with all the wiring. One plate where you took the knobs off, unscrewed this one plate, and he looked and he said, you have a mouse. That voids the warranty. Now, there's no mouse. There's no droppings. There were little pieces of paper that were in the ridge, and I think it's from using a paper towel and cleaning that they went in there. I don't know. I didn't own this stove originally. It came with the house. But there were no droppings. Maybe there were little pieces of burnt food. Okay? And so the minute they were in there for 10 minutes, he goes, that voids the warranty. I'm going to let the insurance company know. And I knew at that moment they were living up to exactly what the review said. They were exactly what the review said. They were living up to it. And that was my fear. And I wanted those guys out of my house. And I knew they would never be back in my house, ever. I refuse. Their energy was so awful. It was scary. And so I called the insurance company immediately. And I say, listen, I called you the first day when they were assigned to me, and I knew they were going to be a problem, and they are a problem. There's no mouse in my stove. I'd know if there was a mouse in my stove. Trust me, you would hear it running around. You would see droppings around it. You'd see droppings in the stove. I said, what proof do they have? And I said to the woman, she was very nice. I said, hey, listen, if there was a mouse in the stove, let's just say hypothetically, and it didn't do any damage, didn't cause the damage which resulted in the stove not working, would it still be covered? And she said, yes. So I had that information in there. So I said, I want to talk to your consumer affair person. I want to talk to the people who are the liaison between me and this shitty contractor scam company. And she said, I'll put it in the notes. In the meantime, I wrote a massive email. I was fired up. And I never heard back from the email. Still haven't. It's been over a week. And that night, I come back from the Conway show, and sure enough, I get a letter saying that my stove is no longer covered under the warranty, that it's been damaged by pest, was the word they used, pest, and that it's denied, case closed, exactly what every one of these Yelp reviews said, exactly. And I called them, got somebody on the phone, and I said, this is a false claim. Well, if you would now have to get a second opinion. I explained the entire story with pinpoint precision. I was on fire. My mind was sparking at a mile a minute. I got every detail in right. And I said to her, I said, listen, tell me this. Why would the first technician come out, open up more of the stove, and not see infestation of pests? Why did that guy approve the service? Why did that guy order parts? Why did you approve it? And this next guy showed up and just rejected the claim. I'll tell you why. Because the guy was pissed off that I didn't let him into my house to fix it that night. He didn't want to fix it. He lived up to exactly what these Yelp claims say. They just want to show up. They want to show up and deny the claim. That's it. That's their business model. And I'm sure the warranty company loves it because most people don't fight it like me. But I fight it. I fight it with my brain, my trained Emory University brain. Should have been a lawyer. And I explained to her, I said, why? I said, show me pictures. You show me proof of this infestation. They sent him one picture. Lord knows if it was even a picture from my stove. Who knows? Because in those Yelp reviews, they were giving, sending in pictures that weren't of those people's appliances. And so she said, hold on. Puts me on hold for about 5 minutes, comes back and says, yeah, if you want, you can get an independent contractor to come out and deny that this is pest, a second opinion, that it isn't caused by pests. I said, not going to happen. She said, what? I go, not going to happen. You are sending out a new contractor immediately and you're fixing this. In fact, I'm not even too sure they didn't screw the stove because now the burner in the back doesn't go as high as it used to go. So what did they do? I want that fixed. I want my $125 back and I want to be refunded. She goes, I'm sorry, sir. That's a I go, not going to happen. Get me to your supervisor now. Now. I've been nice enough. I've been nice enough. Who do you work for? You work for me. You don't work for that contractor. Read the Yelp reviews. I'm sure you're well aware of the scam that they're running. They don't want to fix stuff. They want to deny claims. They just want that $125 or whatever portion of that they get from the insurance company. The scam. So she's okay, puts me through to her supervisor. I was on hold for about 15 minutes. I thought, I'm not getting through to anybody. I'm not getting through. And this is probably never going to happen. And I'm now daydreaming of how to cancel this policy and how to recoup the $125 and how to bury this appliance company because I want to bury them. I got the energy for this. I got the energy for this. So she gets me through to a supervisor. I don't know. I'm being bounced around. It feels like from country to country. And, you know, there's also, you get a feeling that there's some resentment from these contractors that are coming into your house. They resent your house. They resent you. You get that feeling too. I don't like that they know where I live. There's part of that too. And certainly if I was a woman, I wouldn't have opened the door. I'll tell you that much. So I get the supervisor. The supervisor is chomping, eating, okay? Trying to make the sound. That's all I hear. And I said, hi. Hey, are you familiar with my case? No. I said, would you like me to explain it? He said, sure. I said, or would you like to read the notes? Because you'll see I called in the first day when I was assigned these contractors. I got a real problem with them. And you'll see I called in immediately after they left before you even rejected the claim. And now I'm calling again. And so I was a little nervous. I was just put off by his energy. And I explained the story the best I could. And the best piece of evidence I have is, why would they approve? Why would the first guy approve the service and then the second guy? I said, I'll tell you why. Because they were late. They were hours late. They couldn't believe I wouldn't let them in, and they don't want to do the service. That's how they do it. And he said, well, you need to get a backup. You need to get another technician or a contractor in there, and they need to write a report and send it to us. I said, it is not happening. You are sending, and I just kept saying that over and over and over. And he put me on hold, and he came back, and he said, we're sending out another contractor. And I thought, here we go. And then they sent me out the other contractor. I was all excited, and then I Googled those people, and there were no reviews. There was nothing. And I thought, okay, my first gut said that these people, this appliance company, the first ones are going to be horrible. And they were horrible. My gut said this new one was going to be okay, that there were no reviews and maybe it was like an independent person or part of a small outfit. And so he came up that day. He was running late. He called me from his personal cell phone. He said, listen, because that night I was at the Comedy Magic Club. Sold out, by the way. Thank you. Thank you, Hermosa Beach. I'll be back. And I'd love to talk about, I should talk about the show, because that was one of my favorite shows, Comedy Magic Club Hermosa. So anyway, I said, I got to be out by 6, hard out. He said, listen, I'll come by. If there isn't enough time, I'll come by in the morning. I live close to you. I go, this guy's really cool. And this guy, he got out of his car, didn't have a cigarette and put it out on my pavement. Outside my door, my walkway, he was basically running in. He goes, I don't want to take up too much of your time. He opened up a couple of things and he said, absolutely, it's covered. It's a potentiometer. It's the valve. And this guy said, I thought this is the way it's supposed to be. And I'm just trying to wrap up my thoughts here. This guy I know is competent and will get it done. These are the people that should be working with. But I'm saying this as I wrap up episode 105. It's a fight. It's a jungle out there in this world. You have to fight for everything. And I want you to fight. I want you to fight when something's wrong like this, because most people don't have the energy and they just submit. That's part of the insurance company. They want you to submit to having your claim rejected. This happened with my knee. Remember with Paramount? They didn't want to, the insurance company cut me off, and I went to the head of Paramount Disability and she stepped in. So in life, there's some things you have to fight, and this is one of them. And I'm proud of that. I really am. So listen, some good things that have happened. My printer was fixed. But you know what? Stop putting your dog shit in my cans. I'll tell you that much. And let's go back to celebrating leap year. And again, I want to thank Rich for this tremendous coin. I'd love to hear more about, this is the challenge coin. It's a round metal object, an RMO. I'd love to hear more about your service. I thank all the military people. And I thank all the people, you know who I really want to thank? I want to thank all the people that work. Okay, I want to thank all the people that have a job and take it seriously. I really do. And I want to thank Ernesto Hurtado, who takes his job seriously. Thank you for mastering this audio. And I want to thank everybody that is listening and passing on my content. I want to thank all the people that have taken time to write reviews and the people who are, of course, on my Patreon. So check out my social media. You can see More Than Loud, my stand-up special, now in little snackable, munchable little clips that you can share with people. You guys are the best. Maybe I'll see you this weekend in Las Vegas at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club. That is it. And hopefully by the next time you see me, my stove is repaired.